exit number 11940, rail 10.
Brigadier PJ Jeffries, rail 10. You were talking about getting the CO's vehicle and moving on somewhere, Brigadier.
Yes, we moved back over the Labasse Canal, and then for about 48 hours, we were in reserve in the brigade, and the 9th Battalion had a very hard battle defending the line of the Labasse Canal. At the end of that, we moved back further into reserve at Armentières. But during that move back, I and my Humber vehicle, with its driver and the chief clerk of battalion headquarters, on our way back, we went through the area of Steenivoorde. And on our way back, we suddenly met, straight up the road, a troop, three German tanks, who had broken through. We hopped out of our vehicle, sharpish, and dived into the ditch. The leading German tank came along, shot the car to bits, but didn't see us, fortunately. And then turned about, went off into the country at the side and back towards Steenivoorde, where it ran into a battalion of the Sussex Regiment and gave them terrible casualties. We were lucky. Not only did we avoid being massacred, we'd lost our vehicle, but I found a sapper. I told him my predicament, and I don't know if the listeners to this will realize what a Christian man he must have been. The whole army was retreating to the sea, and I told my story to this chap, and I said, I'm a battalion commander, and I know where my battalion's going, and it's further than I can possibly walk. It'll be about 25 miles. Could you possibly lend me a vehicle? And he said, yes, but you must promise me to send it back to me. I said, I promise. So I got this 1500 weight from the sapper, whose name I don't know, and we got back to the area of the Yser Canal, on which we were going to take our position, and I sent the truck back. I hope he got it back all right. But he was a splendid chap.
What rank were you holding at this time? What rank were you holding at this time?
Oh, I was a major. I got promoted to lieutenant colonel before the end of the campaign, but I don't remember whether it was before we got to England, before we got to Dunkirk. But I think it was before we got to Dunkirk. I'm not sure. I was made lieutenant colonel.
So did you move up onto the Yser?
Yes, we moved up to positions on the Yser Canal. We took over from the French, who had previously held it. We were facing east. I think we were on the right of the brigade, and I don't recollect who was on our right, but it seemed to me that there wasn't much on our right. And, of course, one was pretty anxious. And we got into position, all right, late in the afternoon. And we were fairly quickly, during the next day, subjected to quite a lot of artillery fire. The artillery fire was not very accurate, but some of it would fall on the positions on the canal, but a good deal of it fell on our side of the canal amongst any administrative personnel we had, battalion headquarters and so forth. But we didn't get many casualties. But there was a good deal of enemy movement opposite us. I think we all became a little bit jittery because we were new that we were going to withdraw further. We felt we were pretty exposed and alone on the right of the brigade. And, of course, as the day drew on, the rain came down. And we'd had good weather the whole of the campaign so far. But on this late afternoon, it poured. And the worst thing was that the ditch on our side of the canal, that's to say down the banks of the canal, got full of water, deep water, racing water, so that men actually on the canal had a very difficult time moving about. We couldn't get, very difficult to get rations across this little ditch, which was in flood. However, we managed. And the next morning, early, after dawn, in daylight, we withdrew, thankfully.
How does being jittery show itself in a situation like that? How does being jittery show itself in a situation such as that?
Well, everybody asks, when are we going to get out of this? I think people are trying to exaggerate the strength of enemy pressure. I think that is the chief thing.
Did you get into a situation of actually firing on the enemy at this time?
Oh yes, definitely. But I don't think the pressure was as severe as we felt it might become, if you know what I mean.
Do you recall what date this might be?
I should think it was the 28th.
Did you have any feelings that this was the battleground your own father had fought over those years before? This battleground that you're now in, and the Isar Canal, did you realise that your father had fought over similar ground in this same area? Did you have a feeling for that at the time?
Of course. Of course I thought about Ypres. My father, with the 6th Battalion, engaged in the Second Battle of Ypres. And I passed one, on moving to Isar, I passed a place called Dicky Bush. And that was where my father's younger brother was killed in 1915 too. So I knew that it was very much a historical place for me,
Oh, yes.
Was there any intimation at this time, Brigadier, that the retreat was on, that you were going to go back to Dunkirk?
Oh, yes. We knew this information, I forget if it had been definite or not, had permeated the whole army. There was no doubt about it, that we were aimed at getting back to the coast. What was going to happen when we got back to the coast? We had little idea, but we were getting closer to the coast the whole time, you see. Ypres was not all that far.
So where did you move to next?
The next move was into the final bridgehead. It was depressing. We moved back through Belgium, it was, of course. And the whole route, wherever there were houses, was characterized by white sheets hanging from the upper windows of all the houses, indicating that Belgium had surrendered. And of course, in a moment, we were on to Dutch country, because the three boundaries, France, Holland, Belgium, were all very closely muddled up in that area. But we got back, but it was late in the evening before we were back onto the line of the Meuse Canal. And brigade headquarters took up at the chateau at Mur. Am I right? This was May the 29th. I had preceded the battalion during the night, and I reconnoitred the position which we were to hold on the canal Berg Furn. I had to reconnoitre it in the dark, but I managed to do it. The only trouble was that while I was there, one of the bridges was blown up, and I was very, very close to it at the time. It blew my map out of my hands, so the rest of the campaign I hadn't got a map which had been destroyed, but it was a very close call. The battalion arrived during the early morning and got itself into position. We had our headquarters close to the chateau at Mur, where brigade headquarters were. And in fact, I think I remember during later that day that the battalion headquarters of all the battalions moved back into the grounds and area of the Chateau Mur. The day was not eventful. There was a little follow-up by the enemy, quick, as in fact, but not severe. We were on the right of the brigade. The 9th Battalion was on the left, and the 9th Battalion were consistently attacked severely by the enemy and withdrew from the line of the canal. However, a good counterattack retrieved it. So by evening, the position was fairly secure. It was the next day that the troubles started. The enemy pressed us not severely, but continuously. Long-range heavy guns landed about the battalion position and about battalion headquarters. An enemy attack developed late in the afternoon on our front. We were not strong, and I got permission from Brigade to withdraw to the small canal, I think it was called the Ringsloot, just in front of the Moor Chateau. It would be 300 yards, 300 or 400 yards in front. But I had a lot of difficulty in getting the two forward companies back because I hadn't got wireless and I had to go up myself. And it was fairly difficult to move about. Some of the enemy had got over the canal. However, we got back, and by evening we were onto the Ringsloot canal. That evening, the brigade commander decided that there must be no withdrawal from this position, which was in fact, of course, the bridgehead for the Dunkirk evacuation. The evacuation was going on, but we knew that it was getting near the end. And finally, because of the weakness of the whole brigade, the brigadier divided the front into two. One half commanded by McLaren, 8th Battalion, and consisting of the 8th Battalion and 6th Battalion, and the other half commanded by Battiscombe, 9th Battalion, part of 8th, and the rest of 9th. And the orders were, stick it out, but the withdrawal will probably be during the night. So there we were, our last stand. But there was no serious attack during that night. We were heavily shelled on and off. The chateau at Mur, which had brigade headquarters and previously had held battalion headquarters of all three battalions, but we'd now moved ourselves away from this obvious target. The chateau was continuously shelled. I remember going back during that evening to brigade headquarters to get make contact and get instructions. And it's a lovely old chateau. And it was the farmhouse of a big Frisian herd. And in the dining room, which was the main brigade office, there were all these herd books. And I got great sustenance from the brigade Roman Catholic chaplain. I'm a Church of England myself, but this man was a Christian of exceptional ability and integrity, a wonderful chap.
And, you call his name, Brigadier?
I cannot remember his name, but it will be well known in the brigade records. Anyway, the night came at last, and early in the morning, the withdrawal started.
What date would this be, Brigadier?
The 31st. Early on the 1st of June, the withdrawal started. We withdrew on our feet the few miles back to the coast. Depressing beyond belief. Abandoned vehicles, slaughtered horses, abandoned guns, all the way back. And about midday, we reached the dunes. And were positioned in those dunes. I suppose we were 5 miles from Dunkirk itself. La Palme, I think, was the name of the area. We were able to get some food, and the dunes were wonderfully protective. It didn't matter if a shell landed on the dunes because it was quite soft and it didn't make much of an explosion. And anyway, we weren't fired on. There was occasional air activity. Out to sea, we could see vessels, presumably ours, because they were being attacked constantly by German aircraft. Some of them got hit, but they continued to move about. Shortly after midday, the brigadier held a conference, and he said, "More time for the withdrawal was needed. And the brigade would have to create that time by counterattacking back the way we'd come. The counterattack would take place that afternoon. Detailed orders would follow."
What were your feelings at that announcement?
Well, it was a pretty depressing picture. We were all pretty exhausted after this long campaign since Arras. But we were still a good fighting force, and we'd have to undertake it. But it looked to me like the last operation that we'd be able to carry out. But still, we'd wait for orders. About 4 o'clock, the orders came. The evacuation had gone better than expected, and no more time was needed. No thoughts of counterattack, but we would move during the late afternoon, slowly through the dunes and along the beach towards the Dunkirk mole, and 50 div would be embarking off the mole that night. It was no longer possible for small vessels to get onto the beach or near the beach because the enemy artillery was pretty close. But the mole would be the evacuation point, and naval vessels of some sort, small naval vessels, would come up to the mole.
Do you recall that march through the dunes towards the mole?
I recall it well. A good many, I think we had the companies in the dunes and on the sands, well spread out. I myself and the town headquarters were on the road, on the landward side of the dunes, and we marched back into the outskirts of Dunkirk. Dunkirk still seemed to be more or less alive. although it had been shelled and bombed, and there were people about, not very many. And as darkness began to fall, the battalion closed on the mole. There were a lot of troops closing on the mole, and one wondered whether the back of the queue, as we seem to be, would get onto that mole tonight. Well, we moved slowly. And I cannot give due praise to the staff, whether they were provided by Army headquarters or by 50 Div, but I rather think it was a special organization under General Alexander, who supervised that evacuation. But the fact remained that it went excellently. We went forward.
There was no apparent disorder or lack of discipline, anything of that nature?
No, it was wonderful. We would have expected there to be some rushing forward to get onto the mole and that sort of thing. But by this time, all the evacuation was by forward battalions. And although they were diminished in strength, they were not diminished in discipline. And we gradually found ourselves moving closer to the mole. And of course, as darkness came down, we could get into closer formation. If you were widely dispersed, converging on the mole, of course, queue jumping and discipline would have been much more difficult. But as the night came on, we were able to get into close formation. And eventually, I suppose, in the dead of night, we got to the end of the mole and proceeded slowly up the mole. Well, one was closely packed going up, and as we went up, there was still a good deal of enemy shells dropping round the mole. But of course, a mole, I don't know, 10 or 15 yards wide, was not a very easy target. And the shells that missed the mole simply fell into the sea. So there again, they were not very dangerous. But there were casualties on the mole. We saw one or two dead bodies.